Joining us now, senior producer Steve Proffitt, here to help share some listener letters. Steve, welcome back.
Thanks, Alex. And to offer a little correction, earlier this week during a Marketplace segment on financial challenges in broadcasting, we mentioned money troubles at the NewsHour program on PBS.
And we should have said that the show's chief sponsor, Archer Daniels Midland, withdrew support from the NewsHour last summer, rather than implying that that event had happened recently.
We also regret we didn't contact our friends at the NewsHour for comment. Okay, on to letters and some listeners unhappy about our interview with James Frye.
He is the author of A Million Little Pieces. That was the best-selling book that was marketed as a memoir, turned out to be partly, at least, fiction. And a disgraced James Frye had to apologize to Oprah, who'd promoted his book.
Yes, and we talked to him about his latest work, Bright Shiny Morning. It's fiction, he takes great pains to point that out, but many listeners felt that we were wrong to give James Frye a platform.
Steve Strand from Burbank, California writes to say, a writer of nonfiction needs to know that if he deceives his audience, he risks losing his writing career.
It's a shame, he says, that apparently day-to-day doesn't agree with that compact.
In the same camp, listener Paul Sperling, he writes, why give this guy another voice? Wasn't one enough?
Also this week, we talked about the concept of energy independence.
This is a phrase that's been around since the Nixon administration. We spoke to an energy writer, Robert Rice, who said in the global economy, the idea that the U.S. could provide for all its energy needs without imports is crazy.
From Bend, Oregon, listener Stephen Rogers offers his definition of energy independence. It means, he writes, that we are energy neutral. Our imports roughly equal our exports.
And that way, Mr. Rogers notes, no other country has any leverage over us. He concludes, I don't think that's impossible.
And Alex, we got a lot of nice email about this story, which we ran last week about a little encounter you and I had very early in the morning.
Oh, look, there's Alex Chadwick. Riding his bicycle to work, he's got a little blinking light on his back.
It's Mr. Steve. Hey, how are you doing out there?
Well, it was National Bike to Work Week, and as I often do, I rode my bike to work, except this time I took along a mic and a recorder.
Laura Sirwa was one of many who wrote in about this. She noted that in the story, you had some safety advice for bike riders.
I wear a vest with a flashing light, but the best protection is to be aware and use a little caution. And don't ride in the rain.
Now, Miss Sirwa, who's from Seattle, got kind of a kick out of that.
She says if she avoided riding in the rain, she'd hardly get to bike at all. Her advice, take it slow and stay away from slippery manhole covers.
Charles Beal wrote in from the other side of the country, West Hartford in Connecticut, to say that he wishes more folks would ride bikes. And he had a little anecdote.
He says a local radio station was recently running a promotion offering 99-cent a gallon gas at a neighborhood station.
He says people were actually running out of gas while they were waiting in line to buy gas, if only they had ridden their bikes.
Well, whether you ride or not, you can certainly write and write us.
We read every letter. Just go to our website, npr.org, and click on the Contact Us link.
Steve Proffitt, thank you.
You're most welcome, Alex.